Hello, my fellow house arrested people. I trust you are doing better than I am. I think it's day 5 or 6 of the national lockdown, and I'm already seeing things, and my poor wife and poor baby have to deal with that. And yeah, there's still a while to go. So I'm going to share some survival methods that I've employed, and it's not that I'm flourishing, but I am surviving somewhat. And the one tip that I can quickly give before we get all spiritual is to do the bleep test, because I play squash and I jog a little bit, but man, this is driving me insane, and I'm just getting fatter and fatter. I do not want to see a before and after picture of myself before quarantine and after quarantine. It's going to be, I'm going to be more than half the man I used to be. But a friend suggested that I do the bleep test. Not sure if you can remember the bleep test. That's that thing we used to do in high school, where there's a thing that bleeps, hence the name. It's very creative. And you have to run like 15 or 20 meters at a time and run back and forth. And you only have to do it for 15 minutes, but that thing kills you. And it's killed me a little bit. And maybe that's a way, because you only need 15 or 20 meters to survive. So just YouTube bleep test, maybe. The other thing is play Scrabble. I think my Scrabbling skills are improving day by day, because I have an opportunity to play quite a bit of it. And I have beaten my English wife, which makes this quarantine just so much more bearable for me. So there are two tips that you can maybe employ in this time. But the good spiritual tip that I want to give you is the following. Switch off your phone when you are doing a podcast of any sort. Tip one. Tip two, music. Most of us are listening to music at the moment, and it's just something that comes naturally to most people. I know very few people who do not relate to music at one level or the other. But in the same way that I spoke about how movies has been spiritually enriching to me in the past, likewise, great music has the same effect. And usually when we think of spiritual music, we just think of gospel music. And again, wearing my heart on my sleeve, I'm not particularly a big fan of gospel music. That doesn't mean that it's not good or needed. But I do relate quite a bit to some classics that I think can teach us so much about living well and pursuing God, etc., etc. So I want to share one or two of these songs with you. And I mean, you can relax. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm just going to look at the lyrics and maybe just give a few suggestions. Again, it's not exhaustive. I'm not musically inclined. I sing horribly. I can play 3 notes on a guitar, so I'm definitely not an expert. But I'm going to share my very, very layman musical opinion. So the first guy that I think can help you during your quarantine is a chap called Bob Dylan. This chap, as a matter of fact, won the Nobel Prize for Literature not long ago. And he's brilliant. And there are so many songs of his that I can recommend. But you can just listen to his songs, because you can't just give it 1 or 2 or 3 listens. You need to give it, you need to listen it multiple times to allow the poetry of his songs to wash over you. And probably his most famous song is Like a Rolling Stone. And for good reason, because I think in this song, now again, this is up for debate when you are trying to analyze music lyrics. Obviously, you are speculating a little bit, but here I go. His song, Like a Rolling Stone, is something that meant a lot to me, because he is just critiquing this hipster, prideful culture where we're constantly trying to entertain other people, where we're constantly trying to posture a version of ourselves and trying to keep up with the Joneses and everything. And he writes this Like a Rolling Stone, and he starts like this. He says, "Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bums a dime in your prime, didn't you? People call, say, beware dull, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all just kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud. And then his famous line from that song is, how does it feel? Oh, how does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? Now, he is just tackling pride, his own pride and the pride of the glitterati, the pride of the elite. And a lot of his songs actually contain something of this element of being aware of your shortcomings. And what makes him such a rebel is that he was top of his of the society. He was probably the face of this alternative culture in the 60s and 70s, and he just rejected it. He saw it for what it was, and he called it out. And that's what makes him just the ultimate rebel, to such an extent that in that same period when everybody was questioning everything and being very anti-authoritarian and anti-church, he converted to Christianity, which makes him the ultimate rebel. Now, look, I don't think you should convert to Christianity just to spite the secular culture. And I don't suggest that that Bob Dylan did it for those reasons. But he brought a gospel album out when he was at the top of his game. Everybody, the whole culture was bowing down to him, and he just didn't care a bit. He produced a gospel album. It's so funny, but it's also profound, and I think this guy has tremendous spiritual insight. And it's probably not a very good argument, but I sometimes argue that if you want to believe in, if you question God's existence, then just listen to Bob Dylan's music and you think again. So maybe a song that tackles pride and calling out this culture that we all seem to be stuck in, trying to climb the ladder, trying to impress other people, being confronted with our own pride, like a Rolling Stone, is really not a bad song to listen to. One of his other songs, again, very dense, very difficult, is Joker Man. And man, he refers to all sorts of biblical passages here. I have not even begun to try and access the depths of this song because it's very rich and very dense. But let me just read a passage from this song. Standing on the waters, casting your bread, while the eyes of the idol with the iron head are glowing. Distant ships sailing into the mist. You were born with a snake in both of your fists while a hurricane was blowing. And then this line. Freedom just around the corner for you. But with the truth so far off, what good will it do? Now, maybe I'm speculating here, but probably all of the idols that we chase in today's world that was apparent in the time of Bob Dylan when he wrote this song, I mean, you can just name them, whether it's wealth, whether it's fame, whether it's our individuality, just being the center of the universe. I get to decide what I want to do with my own body. I make these decisions. Nobody can tell me what to do. Maybe that is the idol of the day. And then his comment on that is freedom just around the corner for you, because we think that if we can just get rid of this, if we can just liberate ourselves, whether it is sexual liberation, whether it is economic liberation, we always have that thing. If you ask the EFF, it's economic liberation. If you ask this new sexual left, it will be sexual liberation. You know, the Freudians and a large number of this bigger, growing LGBTQIA plus community. If you ask the far right wing, then they would say it would be in Afrikaans self-beskikking, being having our own piece of land. That is what liberation will be. So we all have our various idols on this political spectrum, and Bob Dylan calls it out and he says, freedom just around the corner for you. You're excited, just know that with truth so far off, what good will it do? You see, freedom that does not correspond to reality is not freedom, it's tyranny. And yeah, man, it's just such a powerful song. He's got this other line in that same song. Oh, Joker Man, you know what he wants. Oh, Joker Man, you don't show any response. You know what he wants. We know actually intuitively what God wants from us, but we don't give him the correct response. just the spiritual insight of this song is just profound. And like I said, I haven't even begun to really unravel the depth of this song. Moving on, that's Bob Dylan. U2. By the way, when I try to tell people how to pronounce my name from America or from abroad, and they don't quite get Yuan, then I say, you know the band U2? Yeah, you know, I'm just U1. That's it, my little joke. They've written so many songs that I think is commendable and that I think is spiritually uplifting. But probably my favorite one is this, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I can actually just read this whole song. Well, let me just read this section. I believe in the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one. Well, yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds, and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it. And then just that famous line repeated, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I think Bono is referring, and I mean, he's a very committed Christian himself, and very poetic as well. And he's longing for God's world to be renewed, his kingdom to come. Remember as well that Bono lived during the very tumultuous conflict in Ireland, the so-called the Troubles, where the nationalists and the loyalists, I think those are the two names, also known as the Protestants and the Catholics, are fighting each other. And just looking at the terrible hatred and murder and everything that comes with that, the times of the Troubles, he wrote this song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And he just talks about how he's just longing for this kingdom to come. And then he just sees these glimpses of it. Broken the chains, loosened the chains, carried the cross. This was the beginning of this big kingdom movement. And but as of yet, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And in theology, this is a very famous point to say the kingdom is the year, but not yet. Yes, the kingdom has already started, but it's not yet fulfilled. So that's a very famous theological principle in trying to interpret how God's kingdom works, here but not yet. And he's very C.S. Lewisian, if there's such a term, in the song, because he's talking about this argument from desire. Or maybe I'm just reading that into it, but I think it's fair that I desire for this world to be renewed and for us to really live up to our potential and to just get rid of all this nonsense and this endless fighting. As we read in the Old Testament, where the weapons will be turned into plowsheds, etc. Maybe that's a version of what he's talking about here. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Just listen to U2. I think you'll enjoy it. Bloody Sunday is also one of his protest songs, where there was this Bloody Sunday, again, this very sad and tragic moment in the Troubles, where a lot of protesters were killed by British soldiers, and it was almost the peak of the Troubles. And then he wrote a song about it. He says, I can't believe the news today. Oh, I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long must we sing this song? How long? Because tonight we can be as one. It's just this longing for Ireland to be as one, not necessarily a united Ireland as the politicians would have it, but just a united group of people, irrespective of your political and religious beliefs. And then he describes the current situation. Broken bottles under children's feet, bodies strewn across the dead-end street. But I won't heed the battle call. It puts my back up against the wall. It puts my back up against the wall. You see, this is very profound, especially for South Africa, as a matter of fact, where when we see the images of people dead, then that's usually an opportunity for the populists on the left and the right to heed the battle call, to give the battle call and to call people to heed it and to join their respective groups, because we've had enough of this. We had enough of this nonsense. This is what the oppressor is doing here. This is what these guys are doing over there. And then he says, I'm not going to heed the battle call because it puts my back up against the wall. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to pick up my stones and join the fight. And man, it's so good. And then he just, the phrase, Sunday, bloody Sunday, Sunday, bloody Sunday. And then he says this. This is his take on it. This is how he's going to join the fight. He says, and the battle has just begun. There's many lost, but tell me who has won. The battle has just begun. We've only started our fighting. I think again in the South African context, how we constantly fight. And he says, who's won in all of these endless years of struggle? The trench is dug within our hearts, and mothers, children, brothers, sisters torn apart. Sunday, bloody Sunday, how long? How long will we sing this song? Because tonight we can be one. Then he goes on, wipe the tears from your eyes, wipe your tears away, oh, wipe your tears away. It's true that we are immune, and today millions cry. The TV has become reality. And then he says, the real battle just begun. To claim the victory, Jesus won on Sunday, bloody Sunday. Man, that's good. So, bloody Sunday, bloody Sunday. He's lamenting bloody Sunday. How people are reacting to this as they're trying to rally people to their different causes. We need to fight this. This is nonsense. Just think of the SMS coming out. This just happened. We need to stand together. How dare we allow these capitalists or communists or EFF or AfriForum or whatever the tension at that moment might be. How dare we allow them to do this? And now we must be strong. We are stronger together, etc. And then Bono refuses to join any side. And he says, the real battle has just begun. To claim the victory that Jesus has already won. And when did he win that victory? On Sunday, bloody Sunday. So we are focusing here on Sunday, bloody Sunday as this political event. But I would like to look at this very tragic, horrible thing that happened on Sunday, bloody Sunday, through the eyes and through the lens of a Sunday, a very bloody Sunday. The Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. And that changes him. The cross and Jesus' resurrection changes how he sees the conflict in his day and age. Man, that is very poetic and very sober. So have a listen to you two. Okay, I'm getting closer to an end, so just hang in there. Mumford & Sons. Man, oh man, I know I've got a bit of a problem. I'm a bit of a junkie and a bit of a groupie. And, you know, I giggle like a groupie, like a teenage girl when I think of these guys. Probably their most famous song is that I Will Wait. But when you listen to that song again, I Will Wait, listen to it with the following in mind. Think of it as the prodigal son. And this prodigal son went away. Well, at that stage he wasn't a prodigal son, he was just a running away son. And he goes, he takes his dad's cash, and he wants to spend it all, and he wants to spend it on drugs and rock and roll and gambling and just having the good life now. He doesn't want to delay his gratification. He wants to be fulfilled right now. I mean, that's very much our culture, right? That you just need to fulfill yourself. And here he is coming home with his tail between his legs, and he's approaching the father. And with that in mind, just let's read through the lyrics. He says, well, I came home like a stone, and I fell heavy into your arms, the arms of the father. These days of dust which we've known will blow away with this new sun. And I will kneel down, I will wait for now, I will know my ground. I will wait for you. So break my step and relent. You forgave and I won't forget. So in other words, I think this guy is coming back from his silly, from this stupid time of his life where he just squandered everything and just wanted to gratify every little desire that he had. And he comes back and he sees a dad, a father who forgives. And he says, you forgave and I won't forget, because that's what forgiveness does to us. It just changes our heart. It reorders our mind. And his step is already broken. He's walking like somebody whom life has given a few shots. And he's just changed by this grace. Well, you forgave and I won't forget. Know what we've seen and him with less. Now in some way, shake the excess. I think Marcus Mumford is there talking about When you look at Jesus, the perfect life lived, we saw him with less. And now in some way we can shake the excess because of how he showed us to live this life, Christ exemplar. We don't have to live with all this nonsense. And then the chorus, I will wait for you. It says this, now I'll be bold as well as strong and use my head alongside my heart. I won't just allow to run after all of these passions. So tame my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies. When we just follow our flesh, then we become stupid. We become like animals. So he begs God, I think, he begs God to tame his flesh and to fix his eyes, a tethered mind free from the lies. And then he takes this worship posture. I'll kneel down, I'll wait for now, I'll kneel down, I'll know my ground. And then part of this kneeling and worship posture is to raise my hand, paint my spirit gold, this is worship now, and bow my head and keep my heart slow. This is a changed heart. He's been changed by the grace, by being welcomed back by the Father, and now he is lifted up, but he knows his ground. Because I will wait, I will wait, and I will wait, and I will wait for you. A delayed gratification, waiting on the Lord, and not trying to fulfill our every desire in this world. I think that is what that song is about, and it's meant a hell of a lot to me. They also have another song that is even richer, although not as popular, called Roll Away Your Stone. Go and listen to that song, just YouTube it, Roll Away Your Stone by Mumford & Sons. And I think this is probably the best song describing our Romans 7's predicament. Romans 7 says, what I want to do, I don't do. What I do want to do, I don't do it. Just how sin works on us. Because we know what the right thing is, but we don't want to do it. And man, this song just captures that so well. It says, roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine. And together we can see what we will find. Don't leave me alone at this time, for I am afraid of what I will discover inside. When we start this process of introspection, examining our own hearts, it can be a very scary place. So he says, roll away your stone. I want to do this resurrection thing. I want to come out of the grave, and I'll roll away mine. And together we can see what we will find. So we can do this thing together, but just know that I'm very, very scared. I'm very scared of what I'm going to discover inside. See, you told me that I would find a hole inside of me, within the fragile substance of my soul, and I have filled this void with things unreal, and all the while my character, it steals. So, people said, the Christian says, go and examine, go and look inside your heart, and you're going to see something that is horrible, that is in need of saving. But this guy is scared. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to investigate my own heart. And then the chorus says, darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? You know, to say that humans are evil, to say that we've fallen into sin. I mean, where's the humanist in you, man? You shouldn't be so negative about the human condition. You should be more optimistic. What is this religious self-hatred? Darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? But then he's honest again. He says, and yet it dominates the things I see. It seems that all my bridges have been burnt. But you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with the restart. That's a drum roll, bam, right there. I all my bridges have been burnt, but you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. Even though I've messed up so many things, it's not the long walk home that will change this heart. It's not my effort, but the welcome that I receive with the restart. That is just so poetic and so beautiful. And I think it describes the Christian life where we repent, we don't want to acknowledge that sin is dominating our lives. And then eventually we say, yeah, you know what? Sin is dominating our lives. And you again have this prodigal son returning back to God. And then maybe we think, you know what? I am returning back to God. Maybe that is through my own efforts, but it's not that will change you. It is the welcome that you receive at the restart. Then he goes again, he says, darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? But yet it dominates the things I seek. And then you have this beautiful moment where you've got victory. It says, stars, hide your fire. These here are my desires, and I will give them up to you this time around. And so I'll be found with my stake stuck in this ground, making its territory, marking this territory of this newly impassioned soul. So in other words, he's given himself to God. He's given himself over. He's given over his desires. And he's marking this place of this newly impassioned soul, liberated from sin, found in God. And it's so beautiful. And then it ends in this tragic way, but so true and so human. He says this, but you've gone too far this time. You have neither reason nor rhyme with which to take the soul that is so rightfully mine. Just as he gives himself to God, he says, no, this is mine. You have no right to take this. How human is that? It's a little bit like Frodo standing in Mount Doom, and he knows he needs to get rid of this, and then he just says, no, this is mine, and he puts it on his finger, and it doesn't end well for his finger. That's the human condition. That's Romans 7. Go listen to Roll Away Your Stone, and then go read Romans 7. I think it is profound. I know that I'm going on a little bit too long. Maybe just one more recommendation without trying to talk about any of the lyrics. Go check out an alternative band called The Oh Hellos. They're very folky, very rocky, so I think it's quite a cute tune, although I think my wife and other sophisticated people will accuse me of just being poppy in my taste, and that is perfectly possible. I have to admit that I like a good Taylor Swift tune every now and then, although I know it's brain dead. It's just catchy, and I like to tap my foot to that. But this OLOs, although it's very catchy, I think they've got quite rich lyrics, and you can when you listen to them, you can obviously pick up that they've done a lot of C.S. Lewis reading, and that affects their lyrics quite a bit. But they've got this song, Lament by Eustace Scrubb, that's very cute. Eat You Alive, talking about sin. I can just sort of read this song. Again, it's very straightforward. It's not as hectic as Bob Dylan and some of these other guys. It just goes like this. Well, he said to me, child, I'm afraid for your soul. The things that you're after, they can't be controlled. This beast that you're after will eat you alive and spit out your bones. She'll string you along and she'll sell you a lie. But there's nothing but pain on the edge of this knife. And there is no courage in flitting with fear to prove you're alive. I've seen the true face of the things you call life, the song of the siren that holds your desire. Death, she is cunning and clever as hell, but she'll eat you alive. She'll eat you alive. So go and listen to the Oh Hellos. I think there's a lot of spiritual insight there. So I'm going to end off by saying that music is such a powerful tool to work its way on our soul. And especially in the music of a Bob Dylan, of a U2, and of Mumford & Sons, I've been ministered to before. And like I said before, it's as if God is just reaching out of the radio, out of the music player, MP3, whatever we call it these days, and talking to me. And then to try and figure out what this guy is trying to say and figure out what God is trying to tell me is quite a fun experience. Again, this list isn't exhaustive. And if you have any suggestions, please let me know, because I think it's a fun way of encountering God, because he plays in so many different places and we can discover him there. So that's my thoughts on this daily commute. I hope that you're staying hanging in there with this quarantine. Don't go insane. Listen to music, but listen to good music. And I'll see you on the other side.